there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This being show number 143, January 10th, 2006. Good to have you with us today. We're recording right now at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. We're going to be talking about building, repairing, maintaining for the next hour, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
Well, hi there, Thomas and guys.
Certainly good to have you with us today.
Yeah. Great day to be here.
Don Shaw, how there?
Yeah, on this cool January day.
My goodness, it's cold out today. It what, 57? Is that right?
Yeah, cold for us anyway.
Yeah, it's cold for us. My name is Tom Houston, by the way, but here he is, folks, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman, Phil Parr.
It is about 57, isn't it? It's got my mucklucks on, my long underwear, 57.
Yeah. Well, if you stay in the sun, it's not too bad. I still got short pants on.
It is. Well, my breath's dressed for summer. It comes in short pants. But it was amazing. We actually got some, heard some. I woke up at 12:30 this morning. I recognize that sound. It's raining.
We rained a little bit.
I haven't heard it in a while. But
man, it has been this is the driest.
Too little, too late.
I've ever seen. Yeah. Now, the first year, Shaw, when you moved up here, what year was that?
90. It was in 96, in fact.
96. He called me in June and said, you know, it just never rains up here.
Never rains in East Texas.
Because that was one of those years like this one when it never
just didn't
well,
rain.
I've seen the driest weather since I've lived here and the hottest. What about second year or my first year up here? We just right in the middle of the 100-and-something degree days for however many days that was. And all of the consensus out in my neighborhood, you know, the homes 2 years and younger out there, most of them are 2 years old, everybody, their grass. It's just everybody's grass. I mean, I've sodded my backyard twice, and it looks like it will survive because I water it, but all of the St. Augustine grass did.
Yeah, I've never seen our yard this bad, ever, since we've been there.
I don't care. What happens to my yard? I am not, you know, if I'll take responsibility for changing light bulbs, but I'll be damned if I'm going to worry about this. I don't care. That's a sighted thing. Blind doesn't mean anything to me. If they asphalt it over, would be fine with me. I'm not getting involved. She can handle that, or we'll do without, buddy.
Well, you can tell how dry, how bad it is, because we lost just an inordinate amount of trees.
Don't tell her I said that.
We just have fruit trees. Like, I planted some pear trees, which are normally hardy trees here, and they a couple of oak trees that were well on their way to doing well, and they died. So
really?
Oh, yeah, I had one nice oak tree, probably 20 feet tall, 18, that I'd sort of babied through, and it was about a year and something, should have been real established, and it died. So.
Well, I'm on a let's sell this and build another house campaign because the kids have outgrown. John's kids are grown now. Little John will be 16 years old the 26th of this month. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
John's youngest son.
Yeah.
And Callie, of course, is 19, and my grandkids are grown.
Yep.
And so there's nobody other than Scott's kids, and he's got two little girls. I mean, they're going to play softball. Other than that, there's nobody to use the baseball field, so nobody will maintain it.
Or the pool.
Or the pool, really. There was nobody I'm going to have to fight all summer to get somebody to mow the baseball field, which I could give a damn less whether it's mowed or not. But it's going to be my fault if it isn't. So I'm for selling this 7 acres and buying 3 acres. You know where I'd like to live? Where? Out on the college road going to the college.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just south of here.
That's nice. It's nice out there.
Well, you know, that Henderson guy has some lots out there, but they're astronomical. I mean, they have, like, you can go over there right where Fagan, well, actually on the Diabol Highway.
Yeah.
Right there, and get anything from 2 to 14 acres.
Yeah,
but, I mean, it is. They're so restricted, they even tell you what color of shingles you can have on your house and all this crap, you know. Consequently, he hasn't sold a lot of...
Got to keep your yard going.
Now, who is this?
Some kin to the Hendersons, but I'm not sure which. I don't know. I've met some of those people one time.
I bet Luann went to school with them.
Yeah, probably.
And we probably... To acre, we figured an acre would cost $10,000
an acre. Oh, no. Out there, probably 2 acres would probably $70,000 or $80,000.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah,
they can keep that.
Proud of it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Damn. Well, then my 7 acres ought to be worth a lot of money.
It ought to.
You would think so.
You would think so inside the
being in this location, you'd think
anybody
it would
come
be.
Along with three big ones is fixing to buy it, buddy.
See, there's 15 acres right across the street from us, and we've looked into it. There's 3 acres right behind me that I would like to get my hands on, but there's 15 across the street, but it's all tied up in an estate, and it's all like kids under the age of 10 that own it. So you'd play the devil getting...
I'd like to hear that 3 acre, but you, that wouldn't, she wouldn't like that. That's too far out for her.
No, it's that you're 5 miles from Brookshire's.
5 miles from Brookshire's. Yeah. Well... And a big girl at the grocery store. Anyway, I'm not going to walk the grocery store anyway. I don't care how far you are. Anyway, we quit talking about that. We're the blind handyman, and we're supposed to be talking about handyman stuff, aren't we? By the way, before I get off into that, just let me ask this one question. We are working on doing a gardening show. We want to do a blind gardener, call it Growing in the Dark, like Glowing in the Dark.
Growing in the Dark.
Growing in the Dark. Yeah, that's it. Growing in the Dark.
It's...
And we want to do a gardening show, and we found one guy that's kind of interested, probably be good for 3 or 4 shows, but he's not really a gung-ho. We need the guy who loves radio and knows gardening. Come on, come forward.
And he'll work for free.
Right up.
And we'll work for nothing.
That's right.
Yeah, and we'll do it for nothing. Labor of love.
Yeah, pay is just not.
That's what we need. We need the guy that loves radio, that wants to do gardening, that knows gardening, that will do. We'd like to do maybe a show a month, where every 6 weeks at least, gardening show. Get a hold of me, 936-634-9500. Phil at philparr.net. Let me know. Or call her Don Shaw. What's your email address?
Yeah, you could write it. It's just N5GBI, like November 5, great big Indian, like they say in the ham radio biz, at cox.net. And write one of us and let us
know. Guys, we need you.
Step right up.
Go ahead, Thomas Houston, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, here we go. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you once. I thank you twice. I thank you. Hank bought a commercial soap dispenser that attaches to the wall with an adhesive backing.
Yeah.
Now, the adhesive unadhesed the same afternoon when it was full of soap. Now, it crashed and fell apart like Humpty Dumpty.
Bummer.
Yeah. But he won't sit on the wall any longer.
Yeah.
Now, the wall is made of slick tiles found in the bathroom shower.
Yep.
What can I use to stick it back on? Hopefully something waterproof. Gale.
Liquid nail.
Would stick to that, you think?
Oh, absolutely. Liquid nail will stick to anything.
To anything.
Bonds,
right.
Underwater, in the wet.
Liquid nail would stick to that tile, you think?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, that's a simple answer to that question. You know, we've talked about this a jillion times.
Good stuff.
Never gotten any liquid nail.
But you can also buy in different, maybe, oh, God, anywhere, Hobby Lobby or even some of the hardware stores, squares of Velcro, the positive and the negative,
where
the side
I've got
that have, so you could put adhere the one piece to the tile and then the one piece to the back of your thing and try that. Yep. But I would stop fooling with all, and then they've got just, you know, get into your crazy glues, and they've even got a new one out now that's supposed to stick to anything. And so I don't know the name of it offhand, but it would be similar to crazy glue. Maybe it comes in a little bigger dispenser, but
you could glue your fingers to the dispenser or anything you want.
The thing I go about liquid nail, and you might, if you're totally blind, you might want to have somebody out there with you that would clean up, like take a wet sponge and go around after you've done it. But liquid nail does not set up instantly like crazy glue.
That's
you have
right.
3 or 4 minutes to mess with liquid nail to get it positioned to square up whatever you're doing.
Yep.
And so that would be my first shot.
Well, of course, you know, my thinking would be if this soap dispenser comes out of its little frame that goes, sticks on the wall, if it was me, I'd take the masonry bit and drill a hole in the wall, put a thing in there and screw it to the wall. My God, it would never, you know.
Well, you could do that, and I'm surprised that it didn't, you know.
Offer that.
You could do that, but I would say since this probably obviously has a flat back where its old adhesive used to be.
Yeah. Liquid nail. If liquid nail would hold it, never come loose. You know, if you couldn't pull it loose with a tractor.
Well, most of the time, if they're using liquid nail, I saw on the do-it-yourself thing the other day. If you're going to remove it, if you're ever going to remove it, it's going to ruin the surface that it's attached to.
Right.
So, that's the only way you can get it loose.
Yeah, some bad stuff. I mean, it sticks. I mean, once it...
So you'd want it there, if you were going to put it there, you'd want it to be kind of a permanent installation.
Or get ready to redo your wall after you pull it off.
Yeah.
And here's a guy with a different approach to it. His name is Victor, and he said you could probably use some silicone caulk on the back, but you'll have to let it cure overnight or about 24 hours. If you've got a fan in the bathroom, I would suggest running it when you take a shower. Otherwise, the humidity will interfere with the curing process. Once stuck, you may have to use a scraper or something of that nature to take off the excess silicone. So hopefully you won't have to take it off anytime soon.
Yeah, I've seen this stuff like he's talking about. It forms like a rubber gasket type.
Yeah, I've seen it's like ceramic soap dishes that attach to a tile wall. That's kind of the way they install them.
Yeah,
it's with
yeah.
the silicone. But,
yeah, but that's not what he needs. That's not,
I would say you'd have to be a little more precise with the silicone than the.
Well, I mean, a hot liquid. Glue gun would hold it for a while. But if this liquid nail would put it on there and you'd destroy the wall taking it off, that'd be the thing.
I mean, if he wants it up there. Permanently.
Yeah. That'd be the stuff to use, it'd be, as far as I'm concerned. If it's stout enough that it says when you take it off it's going to damage the wall, that's the stuff you need. I've got to have some. Abney
grout. Grout.
Abney has it. Yeah, it comes in a tube grout. And or a caulking gun, big tube.
Yeah.
I just like the word grout.
Yeah, grout. Yeah.
Right, Tommy.
Okay. Hi, folks. It's my understanding that AFB or some place makes an aluminum Dymo tape for indoor-outdoor use. It's supposed to be more durable than the plastic tape.
Yeah.
Has anyone used it? In what instances would it be useful where the plastic tape wouldn't hold up?
You can buy it. You don't have to buy it. You can buy it at Office Max.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've got a couple rolls.
Can it stand up to hot and cold temperatures, for example?
Sure.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting post, but I'd never seen that type of tape. But it sounds useful.
It's supposed to be magnetic, but it ain't very magnetic. It doesn't do
what,
very...
What do you use it for?
Labeling things.
Oh, okay.
It gives in a Dymo tape gun, and you use it for labeling things.
But boy, for Braille, it seems like it'd be the thing to have, because the dots shouldn't just be easy to push
and the dots would be there forever.
Yeah. So
I've got a couple rolls. I don't know that I've ever used it, but they said it's magnetic, but I never could get. Yeah, maybe it'd stick to your fridge, but I know what my fridge looks like. I don't need to label the refrigerator.
Yeah,
I've got that down.
Yeah, it took a while.
It did. It took several years, but I know what the fridge is. See, I don't need to label that. Now there are other things that I might.
No need to label the beer cooler, huh?
No, I know what the beer fridge looks like and the beer in it. The cans, I don't need labels there. So.
Yeah.
So you know, and I don't know the bathroom. You know, they put labels on public bathrooms. Well, you'd have to be right there at it.
Yeah,
and you'd hear guys in there flushing and rinsing, and so you'd pretty well know that wasn't a candy store.
Yeah.
You know.
And here's a guy, Spyro, has a little input on this. He says at one time a company named Rotex made this stuff. It was thicker than the 3M product, but the 3M stuff was the only thing that would go through the 3M Brailer gun. I have heard that Rotex stuff got thinner, and then they went out of biz, but I didn't know the aluminum from anyone would go through the 3M gun.
Well, I guess we could try it. I've got a couple rolls, but I've never labeled anything with it.
It'd be a good little experiment.
I've got the gun in there, and we can give it a try. When we get off the air here, we'll let you know next week.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Yeah. Time alone will tell.
Yeah.
Okay, and Eric writes, he says, just as an exercise in curiosity, what other good reason is there for doing anything? I would like to know how much power common appliances consume and may be able to judge which are the most efficient. Is there some way of doing that? I'm thinking, do they put something on each electronic device, such as TVs, radios, etc., that lists the power use in terms of amps, watts, hamsters it takes to run the device? I wonder what is more power stingy to run television channels through my VCR and amplified by my bookshelf stereo, or just having a TV on using its picture tube. These are the reasons we guys need beer to sleep at night. Never mind bills or whether or not our kids are home yet. And this is Eric.
Yeah. Well, I would like him already. Call him and get him on the show, shall we? Need this boy.
Here about 2 weeks ago, I saw on TV, maybe one of the local newscasts, just kind of what he's talking about. Down here after both hurricanes, we have been, our electric bills have doubled.
Boy, that's true.
And they've just never gone back. They've really just never gone back. And they were going on how you could save energy, and one thing I remember, it says that to burn a 60-watt light bulb for a month costs $7. I guess that would mean 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I would say where whatever your big provider is in your area, I bet he could. They could give you most of the information you're looking for.
I bet you they could too.
A couple of and in other bigger things, you might call the major air conditioning company. They could tell you how much about your air conditioner. But I would say your energy provider, who you know.
You mean to tell me to burn a 60-watt bulb for 30 days costs $7?
That's what they said.
Oh, man.
That's, and so in the mornings when we get up and Emily's outside with the dogs and everything, I go through the house and I must turn off 20 or 30 lights because out our floodlights, we have four big ones out front. Then the five lights in our – I mean, all of our lights in the ceiling are floods, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a guy called me yesterday morning trying to sell light bulbs, and he was a veteran of foreign wars or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was one of these that had a lifetime guarantee to it.
Yeah, I bought them. They don't last a lifetime.
What I was wondering is, you know,
I've
seen them because I work for a company on the phone like that up in Kentucky, and it had a bigger filament in it. It was thicker, but it didn't give off the light that one with a thinner filament in. But now they guaranteed them for like 5 years, I think, up there.
Really?
But these guys said it was a lifetime guarantee. If they ever burn out, you just send it back and they send you a new one.
But back on the emails, too, this guy, on this thing I saw, they broke it down. I wish I'd have known somebody was going to ask the question. I would have had my pen and pencil there. But they told it, like, how much to operate a computer for a month, the people that leave their computers on. But I forgot what it was, like maybe $3 a month if they don't go in their sleep mode or if that's without the monitor.
Yeah.
But, and of course, I kind of took a walk through our house, and we're bad. We leave everything on computers. Keyboards, little, you know. About the only thing we turn off is televisions. Lights and televisions.
Yeah. I heard it one time that your television takes about as much as a 100-watt bulb.
Okay.
I've heard that. Now, I don't know where they got it, but I heard it.
I do the same thing every morning when she goes to work. I go through and turn the lights on, off, that she's left on. I told her one time they could have saved a lot of money in this house. When you built it, just not putting any light switches on. Because you never, never turn the light off. And she doesn't. She'll walk in a room, turn the light on, and just leave it on. I guess a lot of sighted people do that. But I don't know. Why is it my responsibility to turn the lights off? I ain't maintaining the yard, though. That's it, buddy. I draw the line there.
But really, since the hurricanes here, our company, I mean, talk about just really taking advantage. Price gouging. TXU has really...
profiteering off the hurricane.
Oh, and they've never gone back.
Ever since we've been in that.
Month before the hurricane, my electric bill was $270-something. And what was that, in August? Okay, air conditioning, wasn't that within the hurricane, the first one? The next month, my bill was $675. Then the next month was $345, and then this month, this past month, $415.
I switched at the right time. I went with direct energy, and mine's been going down.
$415 really? In the winter, Patterson?
Yeah, $415 in the winter.
Son.
But we got $355
in the
winter,
and that's with a heat pump.
Unreal.
I have a heat pump, which should be cheaper, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just unreal.
Well, I found out yesterday if anything happens to Luann, I can draw about double Social Security, so I ain't worried anymore. But listen, we'll be back. We have our guest is Doug Rose.
Doug Rose.
Who has
been
not
a long
been on.
Time.
Doug is at Bill's Swimming Pools and... or not
pond.
Pools, but ponds and all. We haven't had Doug Rose on in a long time. We'll do him in just a minute. More of our show called The Blind Handyman. Hang on. Be right back.
Do you know about the Blind Handyman Listserv?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. www.blindhandyman.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com.
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Our guest today is from way, way, way back in the past, Doug Rose, the Pond Man. How are you doing?
Hi there, Don. Doing all right.
Good, good. I've talked about ponds and talked about, well, you actually helped us a lot on the list long ago, getting some show titles together and things like that for the ACB archives.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Why did you quit? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that was the question right there.
I guess I just got doing so much pond stuff, huh?
Well, I guess so. We're glad to have you. It's been a year or better. How long has it been since we had you in a while?
Too long, huh?
Good, I guess too long, yeah.
I missed hearing you guys and all that.
If you had stuck with it, we were going to give you a raise. I mean,
Yeah, nothing ain't worth nothing, but it's free. You got to remember that, Doug.
Yeah.
Listen, you're where are you? What's your town?
It's called McKinleyville, California. It's the northwest part of California, about 70, 90 miles south of the Oregon border, right on Pacific Ocean, basically.
McKinleyville.
Yeah, like President McKinleyville.
I got you. Right, you reckon they named it after him?
They did.
President McKinley. Now he was a one-termer, I think, wasn't he?
They shot him and killed him.
Yeah, I think that's what
they shot him.
1901. I believe.
They shot him. That's not very nice. Wasn't very hospitable,
not very
was it?
Friendly, is
no. I don't know what.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know what they had against him, but that's what they named.
Yeah.
The town was originally called like Minersville after a person named Miner that settled it. A lot of fishing, timber industry, what the town was about.
Yeah. What do you do there? Do you still work? Are you retired or?
No, I'm still working at it. Different things. Help my wife with the pond business.
Yep.
And also, until recently, I was working for an organization that served the blind called Lighthouse of the North Coast.
Uh-huh.
We taught people adaptive living skills and that kind of thing. And now I'm kind of branching out on my own. I'd been doing some contract work with the local Department of Rehabilitation, training people on Braille or some of the screen readers for the computers and that kind of thing. So we, up here in this country, it's not uncommon for people to have two or three part-time little jobs and put it all together.
Yeah.
So that's what we're about up here. We're just part of the, like, McKinleyville's about 15,000. It's growing. Eureka, the largest city in our county, and the county seat, that's about 26,000. So it's a rural type community with dairy farms and timber, that kind of thing.
But you try to keep busy doing some ponds or doing teaching somebody how to do some skills. So you're still trying to work a little bit. as opposed to us old retired guys.
Yeah.
You guys are working at something, aren't you?
Not doing much. I'm hoping nobody calls me. That's what I hope. When the phone rings, if I don't know the guy, I just don't answer it.
Don't answer, huh?
Because I don't want anybody to ask me to do anything. I don't want a job. I've done enough. I'm 65. It's time. You know, don't tell my wife that, for God's sake.
No, we can't tell her that.
Don't tell it. But you are still sometimes building. You were doing ponds or fountains for people.
Yeah, we've expanded quite a bit from last time we talked.
Really?
At that time, I think we only had one or two local nurseries. Now we have four or five nurseries in our county.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard the major supplier about 200 miles south of us that they originally were getting their water plants from, they're probably out of business. So that might speak good for our business this next year.
Yeah, no kidding.
So water plants, you mean plants that grow in water, or water plants as in water pumps?
Yeah, plants that grow in water, like water lilies.
Okay.
They also have a kind of plant that's classified as a marginal. It grows out at the side or margin of the pond.
Uh-huh.
And so we grow those too.
Oh, you grow those?
Yeah, we grow those here at our home is where we started, and now we have like three other locations that we go to and three other ponds, and then we're going to build a fourth one out of cinder blocks as soon as the rain lets up over here this spring.
Yeah, it's my understanding that you've gotten a good bit of rain.
Yeah, we're at right at a little bit over 50 inches right now.
Whoa.
This year?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Get serious. From what time?
From July 1st, but most of it came like November on.
What would be the normal amount you'd get?
For the year, we usually get around 40.
And so you're up 10 inches or so.
Yeah,
already.
We're well above it. And we still have a couple months to go.
See, that's what happened to us last year. We were...
Yep.
We get maybe 40 inches of rain, and we got 70 last year, and now we haven't gotten any. It rained last night.
I never know.
I know it was rain. It's a funny noise. It fell on the roof. I hadn't heard it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you sell enough of these plants to need to grow that many, or what?
Well, we're in a learning curve, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to figure out what to grow. There's like 2,500 different kinds of water lilies.
Really?
Uh-huh. And so we had about a little over 100 different kinds. And they have interesting names like Patio Joe and Texas Dawn and these kind of things. People that breed them name them.
Uh-huh.
One of the big breeders is down there in Texas, around College Station. His name was Strawn. He's now sold the business.
Yeah.
He's a big name in it. And then there's Slocum, Perry Slocum. So people that know water plants will see that it was, you know, originally bred by Slocum, and he's in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's deceased now, but
He was in North Carolina.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
You say he was in North Carolina.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah. Do any of these plants live for any length of time? I mean, are they seasonal, you know, and you have to replant or will they last?
Like a lily, it just keeps growing. So if a person wants to know how to do it, they can break it out. It has a tuber like an iris, if you've dealt with irises. And you can break them off, and, you know, they propagate that way.
I was just curious, because I one time had a rubber tree plant that I learned how to cut, and I kept it for about 12 years. I don't know if Don and Mary's finally sitting over there bit the dust. But
it did. It finally
anyway,
bit the dust.
The kids, for Christmas, bought Emily and I a sago palm, and it's 15 years old. And at this nursery,
man,
I think they're fairly expensive, and at the nursery they got it from, they had some 80 years old.
Whoa.
So I was just curious if some of your plants just would last forever if you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, I think they would, because they do out in nature. They just keep dividing and multiplying, and if they get the right nutrition.
Okay, but you, what you want to do is sell somebody one, so you have to take a cutting off that and get it growing independent of its parent. Am I right or not?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Phil.
Ah,
we have
well,
what we call mother plants.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we call them mother plants, and that's what you put in a bigger, well, we put them in a pot.
Mm-hmm.
In the big nurseries and growers, they have like a trench, a lined trench with rubber or cement,
uh-huh.
and they just have one kind in a trench. But we have them in these, you know, they're about like a bus tote that you have in restaurants, about 2 feet.
Okay, I got your point. I understand. Big plastic
tub.
Yeah.
And we put the mama plant in there.
All right.
And then whenever it looks like it's ready to split out, we dig him out, break off the ones we can to sell. And then we have a couple different ways we do it. We have what we call a one-gallon pot, and they go to the nurseries. And then we have a two-gallon pot, and they're kind of like a pond in and of themselves.
Uh-huh.
And that is the kind we take to our local farmer's market, where we sell directly to the customer.
Okay.
That's a lot of fun.
Now, how much of this, so we have this big plant in a two-foot square tub, and you want to break off some cuttings or break off some to sell. How much of that can you do without sight?
I'm not too good at that. I've had my wife show me. I'm slowly learning. So I usually let her do that, and then I enjoy filling the pot with the soil.
Yep.
And then we have a label gun where she tells me, she prints up the labels.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, she just got a new printer. She had been printing the labels by hand, and we just bought a used printer from a orchid company that went out of business.
Okay.
And these labels come on a roll. They're plastic labels, and this printer is really neat. You just put it into the program what you want on that, and it's a thermal printer, and it embosses this print label. And then my job would be to take this little gun, and, you know, it has those things, mm-hmm. like they put tags on your clothes, those little plastic staples.
I've never seen a gun that did that, but
they make them for their nursery business.
Okay.
And you just pull a little trigger, and it puts a staple through the label in the pot.
Okay, but if they're printed on a printer that you could actually make the label, because you could type on the computer, right?
Yeah.
You can make the label yourself.
And
she wouldn't have to do it by hand with a label gun.
Yeah, she'd just been using some kind of ink that held up in water, because that's the other thing, when she was doing them by hand. So we're excited this year.
But then you guys are still building ponds also. If someone just comes along and wants the pond built, like in their backyard, you guys could do that too, couldn't you?
Well, we usually just consult on that. Legally, we don't have a contractor's license.
Uh-huh.
And you're supposed to have that to build somebody a pond. So, but we've gave them the do's and don'ts. And
okay.
Then they either can do it or hire a contractor to do it. And we're looking at doing more pond maintenance work, too. My wife has built a pond vacuum where you can go in and vacuum out a lot of the sediment. Mm. And so we've started to do a little bit of that. And if we have time and get things organized, besides selling plants and building our own ponds,
So it'd be a deal like if you had a swimming pool, you can hire supposedly pool people to do maintenance on your pool and keep your pool up for you. So if you had a pond, you could do the same thing, and you guys would be the folks that would come out to.
Yeah, that's what we went to.
Our
Small Business Administration has been very helpful over here, and we didn't have that much income, and we've had free advice and a lot of good advice. So, yeah, they said we could price it something like just you're saying there, Don, like maintenance of swimming pools or whatever come so many times a month.
Uh-huh.
Charge them for keeping, and then in the winter you come less often, of course. And
sure,
yeah, oh sure.
And or if they're not home, you just tell them you came.
Yeah, you can do that.
That's what my pool guy
did.
That's
what pool people do.
That's what my pool guy did. He swore he came. I was home, and I know damn well he didn't come.
Yeah. That's right.
You didn't see me. You must be blind.
I must be blind.
Yeah.
But listen, before we get away from plants, I want to just dip back into this one more time. You say that you are learning to do the cutting off the big plant. Do you think you can learn to do that?
Yeah, it's pretty tactile, really, from what I've noticed.
Uh-huh. I would think it would be.
Yeah, it is. So if I trained myself or spent more time with it, I could do a pretty good job, and so I've learned different things to do by touch, knowing when to pull the dead leaves off. I can't tell them quite as soon as someone sighted.
Can't tell when they're dead.
Yeah, someone sighted sees them change in color before I can feel the. But
the
once
crispy,
they start getting
dry leaf.
Doug, just for grins. How many different types of plants are y'all trying to grow? And if it's not a personal, like how many plants would you have on site there? I mean, you know, what's like your inventory? What do you try to maintain?
Well, right now in what we call the marginal plants, the grasses and all that, and the rushes and that kind of plant that grows around the side of a pond, we've got over 1,000 ready to go.
Wow.
The more we can break out this spring. Mm-hmm. And we were, some nurseries were ordering 60 to 80 a time when we went in.
Oh, really?
A couple times a month. So it's starting to grow. And then of the lilies, can't remember exactly how many lilies, but we did need a easier place to get to, so that's why we're going to build this above ground pond out of cement blocks and liner.
At your house, at your home?
Well, we got another. We've used up all the space over here.
Oh, really?
So we're renting from another farmer. She had a horse arena that she wasn't using anymore. And so we built what we call puddles, or because for those marginal plants, they don't need necessarily to be submerged.
Uh-huh.
Like a lily in water. So we took some 1x4 and I ripped them so they're, you know, that width. And let's see, basically they were the fencing, you know, the cedar fencing
pickets. Okay.
And I put them, I took two and I screwed them to my wooden workbench, and then I screwed a third one at the right to use as a fence.
Okay.
Then I took the circular saw,
uh-huh,
and I just ripped them down the center. It didn't have to be exact.
Okay, so you wanted them to be 3 inches wide instead of 6 inches.
Yeah, so they turned out like 2 3/4 inches wide.
Okay.
And I cut them at 5 feet long, then I made a square out of them that's, you know, 5x5.
Okay.
And then we bought this roll of rubber. It's made for ponds,
mm-hmm,
the liner. And then we just cut it a little bit bigger than that. And then we laid that in there. And so then you had a tray, a rubber-lined tray, basically, on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what holds. Then you just run water in there. It's about 2 inches deep. Then you don't have to go over there every day and water them.
Because it keeps a little water. It keeps the water from running away.
Yeah, and they suck it in through the holes in the bottom of the pot.
Okay, are these down on the ground? You have to get down on the ground to foo with
yeah,
these?
Yeah, those there we put on the ground. We built several tables that are up, so you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd
yeah,
be good.
I had a question out there. Y'all have a couple of nasty rattlesnakes that live at, like, the North
yeah.
Pacific rattler. Do y'all encounter any varmints in your fields?
I haven't had any rattlesnakes, Don. We've had some of the other kind of garter snakes and that kind of thing. I put my hand inside our cover for the soundproof box for the pond motor one time.
Yeah.
And I found the skin from one in there.
Found a what?
The skin. He had shed his skin.
Oh, uh-huh. Man.
Yeah.
And I said to my wife, what is this? Oh, that's his cover. That's.
So he had left, but he left the skin there for you.
Yeah.
I worked for a guy that did that every spring.
Yeah.
He's pretty
you gotta
much
watch a, those guys.
Pretty much a snake.
Yeah.
But Doug, this is just you are optimistic. You sound very optimistic about this. Do you think there's going to come a time when this will be your main source of income?
I doubt it. We looked.
Really?
We consulted with the small business people, and it's very labor intensive. We don't have the right setup. We'd have to buy the right property, because now we're kind of just juggling it between all these spaces, and also where we live. We're right along a foggy coast, and your big growers, we can't compete with those, because number one, they're down in the southern areas like where you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're lucky right here along the coast to get over 70 degrees about three times a year.
Wow. And
water lilies love heat.
Man.
So that's why a couple of our places are about 5 miles inland from where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And we've noticed a big difference in what the plants do there. They're about 3 weeks ahead of what we are 5 miles away here.
Okay.
At the coast.
Wow.
But people do grow quite a bit of stuff. I found out going to these farmers markets, they grow a lot of different kinds of produce and herbs around here and things like that.
So this is for you a hobby, or do you plan to make some bucks doing it, or what is?
Well, we actually made something out of it last year.
Uh-huh.
And I think if we're figuring out more of how to do it in our area. So, like I said, a lot of us up here are a jack of all trades, and
yeah,
may have two or three part-time jobs. So
yeah,
it's what my wife and I like to do. It gets us out.
Okay, you like to do it. There's the key.
Yeah,
there's the key thing. But if you and besides that, you have it. Don't hurry. I wasn't rushing you. Besides that, you can write the car off because you have a little company that does.
Yeah.
Huh?
So we have a pickup truck.
Yeah,
you need
benefit.
That. Guy needs that little fringy kind of benefit. But you're learning a lot. I mean, this is an unusual thing. I don't know any other blind people that we're looking for.
Yeah, I haven't talked to anyone.
We're looking for a guy to do a gardening show right now. We think that would be something we could kind of expand, just do other things, you know, to find somebody that does. And we're having a hard time locating somebody who's the blind gardener.
Yeah.
You seem to know more about it than most anybody we've run across.
Well, I'm learning. I kind of thought my wife, I didn't know, she was kind of silly in the beginning, but she had this great interest in it, and I've come to like it. And you know, trying to make myself now a Braille catalog, so especially when I go to the farmer's market, I know, okay, this plant needs these conditions to grow.
Uh-huh.
Because the market can get kind of busy at times. People seem to show up in droves, as you probably know. You'll have this big lull, and all of a sudden three people show up, and they're asking my wife and I questions as fast as we can answer them.
Uh-huh.
that plastic paper, because you can imagine around water plants, your hands get wet.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got the regular braille paper, and there goes your information.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. The plastic paper or labels are a good idea.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it would be, how about a braille note or something like that, that you could put all the information in, you could type in keywords, and
yeah.
Would that work or not?
It could, but I'd hate to risk
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had dirty hands or muddy hands,
Yeah, I was going to say, your company there might want to buy a itself a
Braille note. That's right. Spend those big dollars.
Spend those bucks and buy, you know, the $5,000. What do they get for those?
Yeah, they're a bunch.
Boy, they're proud of those.
Or if you had a couple of little cassette recorders by different kind of plants and just have the people punch the play button. Do a little recording of something and
the
have them punch.
The guided tour.
You know, kind of the guided tour like the museum does.
Yeah. Hey, I like that. That's what we should work on this next year.
Well, I hope it's not a year before we have you on, because you are doing something. I don't know anybody else that's doing what you're the kind of stuff that you're doing. I'm sure we're going to find somebody. We found folks doing all kinds of stuff, and your wife is sighted. She drives for you, right?
Yeah.
It'd be hard to do it without some sight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you'd have to get somebody to help you haul this stuff around, and she does a lot of the catalogs, and she gets on that internet, and she converses with people around the world on water plants.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And, matter of fact, some guy from England got a hold of her. He says, I want one of the water lilies you have. I haven't been able to find it over here. So she looked at what it would cost to ship it over there and all that.
Uh-huh.
And it just so happened, another guy on the listserv had the water plant that he needed, and they live like 5 miles apart. So she put those two people together, and out of it she got some pictures that she wanted from the one guy. So it's kind of a neat community.
Yeah. And had it not been for the internet, she would never have. These folks never would have gotten together.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's why we love the internet.
Yep.
All right, sir. Well, I guess we'll go and plan on having you again at some point in time. And any time you want to put. Let's see. What would you do for us? You did. You put some guests with the
titles. Show titles.
Okay.
Show contained what?
We keep thinking we're going to do that, and I keep saying I'm going to do it, and I guess we get our own website. I guess I'll be forced to do it. But we appreciate your help, and we appreciate you being on the show, and keep it up, sir. We'll be in touch.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
Doug Rose from Northern California. Back in a minute with more of the Blind Handyman Show.
Serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line, stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Thanks for listening to The Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
Don Patterson.
All right. Well, golly, there's nothing in the world like owning four dogs.
Yeah, what a trip.
I was going to bring that up.
You to know that we've got a new addition to our little family, a little Cavalier Spaniel, a King Cavalier, or Prince Charles Cavalier. I forget. Emily could tell you all about it.
Is this a purebred?
Purebred. She must have papers a mile long. She's about 8 weeks old, you know, just out of her litter mates. And maybe she's 12 weeks. Maybe she's... I think she's just two months
old.
What
good is having papers on a dog? What is this
if you wanted to breed her, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Emily might try that, especially if she retired. Maybe breeding one. You know, they go for about $1,200 to $1,500 a piece.
She's not going to return.
I don't think she'll retire anytime
soon.
Speaking of dogs, well, it was a timely topic. And anyway, but yesterday, so the little dog is, full grown, will probably weigh 12, 15 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Really?
But we're training her in the crate right now, and she sleeps like any baby, probably 20 hours a day. But when she's awake, she is alive and well.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And so the first thing you do is take her out, put her in the grass so she can take care of business. Yeah. And then I was going to, but we've had unusually nice weather here. And so said, well, I'll just build a little pen, you know, a foot high or 15 inches high.
Well,
take in half the patio and cover it, stick it out a little bit where she can still get down in the dirt and get up on the cement. So I did that, and trying to hold boards and use my nail gun with one hand. This was the ugliest, most useless structure I'd ever created in my life. It was crooked. It was, and I put the puppy in it, and she was out in 2 minutes. So I just knocked it down, took the nails out of the boards, put the boards back in the garage, and so the dog can just either in the crate, or you have to just be there with her.
Yeah.
The tin.
Just put it out.
Actually, though, I had
wait a minute. You weren't going to leave that on the patio all the time, were you?
No, just till she got, you know, a month from now. It was just, it was just
temporary.
So it was her private pen.
Yeah, 2x2. It was, in other words, we have actually a 10x10 pen that we had bought when we had Ozzy that I have to put together, and I could keep her in that.
I
had taken it down, and it's kind of awkward to get out and put back up. But that was just going to be a little temporary thing where she could kind of stay outside, and I could go in the house a minute without worrying, did the dog run away? But like I say, I put her in it, and she escaped in 2 minutes, so I've got to start over.
Or just go out and watch the dog.
Well, why don't you put her in the pen with the regular dog?
Goodness, she's just too little.
She's too little.
Yeah, Ozzy is rough. He plays rough. And Rosie would, you have to kind of, Rosie's very protective. And Rosie's very concerned about losing her sweet, good home. And so Rosie's the dog that barks first and that approaches all strangers with doubt in her,
doesn't want to lose her place.
Doesn't care for little children and not real crazy about other dogs. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, she would bear watching. I would never trust Rosie, it's really around small children, like if Rosie was eating, say. She's never offered to bite anyone, but you can just tell. She gets real nervous when... let's see. One other thing I was going to talk about. Maybe this has happened to somebody because I don't. We went to Lowe's. I got the little propane grill for Christmas.
I heard that.
And son-in-law actually gave us a bottle. He said, I don't know how much gas it got, but you can get it filled at Lowe's. So I just took it. I didn't even try his. Took it, exchanged it, $16, and they gave me a full one. Well, I cooked hamburgers, the thing was on a total of about 30 minutes, one burner on Monday night, or Sunday night. Then skipped a night, and then the next night on about 30 minutes, one burner cooking burgers. Mm-hmm. So the other night I said, I'm going to go out and cook a burger and some links. No gas.
You've got a little leak somewhere.
Absolutely no gas in my bottle, and I thought everything was turned off, but also as close in proximity as it is to my house, it looks like you would have smelled it if it was leaked, because I'm out all the time in that area. I go out there and sit in a rocking chair, and I'm sure glad if it was a leak, I'm sure glad I'm not a smoker, because the bottle is just plain empty. I'm just wondering,
are they
in the mix? They gave me a bottle that has not been full.
Question.
And since that's my first time at it, I didn't have anything to judge, like how
that
heavy is
a full.
A
long time.
You know, and if you ran out a bottle just sitting there with one little leak.
Bottle should have lasted months.
Month. Yeah, that's what I think. Oh, yeah. And so, oh, and it looks like if it would have leaked out to that proportion, you would have known it.
You would have smelled it.
Seems like it.
So, you know, or something would have blown up. I mean,
yeah.
You know, turn on it.
What do you think the deal was?
So I don't know.
Maybe a light one?
You know, we heard, where was it? I don't know if it was somebody on the one of the lists talking about getting something from somebody that was, you know, one time I bought a microwave from Sears and I got it home and it had been used. It was dirty, greasy. And so I just figured that Lowe's, they gave me a bottle.
New 5-gallon bottle, even a 5-gallon bottle full, should be fairly heavy.
Heavy, okay.
So yeah.
And I didn't think this one was all, it was heavy, but I didn't think it was like.
Yeah, it should be fairly heavy.
They've got that little thing around, handle at the top, but you can't carry it very far without it cutting your hand.
It should weigh pretty good.
Well, Liz, I don't think this one was
full. I don't think
it
wasn't
full.
That's what I think, too.
Tomorrow. But.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't worry about that. Just get another.
Bottle.
They're not ever going to admit, Mr. Don.
Take
I'm
your
so
bottle
sorry.
Down and get it filled at the propane place would be the thing to do.
Yeah, I'm going
to
look and into this, the 10-gallon one, too, to have a two.
Well, I'll get to Stafford's Liquid Gas and get. They'll fill up your butane bottle, your propane bottle anytime. The problem with me was with CO2 when we had the beer keg. See, they only pump that on Thursday afternoons at 2:30 or something.
Oh, right, right. When we're drinking beer.
Yeah, we're drinking beer. Okay. All right, we're going to do Thursday next week, so you will be here.
I will be here, yes.
All right. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you.
You bet.
Donald Shaw?
Yeah.
Come back and see us next week.
We will next week.
Tom?
Gardening.
Yes, sir.
Thomas, Dr. Houston? No, gardening week after next. Thank you, Tommy.
All right.
We'll see you next week. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.